I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and I welcome my colleague and long informant of the economy, John Tamney, the editor of Real Clear Markets, in addition to other distinguished publications. However, it is the author, John Tamney, I welcome, with his new book, When Politicians Panicked, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. Mr. Tamney, congratulations. I take you immediately to the day itself for New York City, where I live and work. This is March 20th, 2020. The announcement from the governor of New York, Mr. Cuomo. He says that he is closing down New York. When I talk about the most drastic action we can take, this is the most drastic action we can take. We're going to take it to the ultimate step, which is we're going to close the valve. The governor is thinking of the economy as a valve that opens and shuts. He then orders a mandated shelter in place. He then orders a mandated closure for any business not in compliance with the governor's orders to shut down, to lock down. He adds, your actions can affect my health. That's where we are, he stated, said the governor. The question at that point was, how long? That question wasn't answered that day. There was the impression it was not a lengthy shutdown. It was, however, a severe contraction immediately. Mr. Tamney, March 20th, 2020, for New York City. I report that New York City is largely still under the governor's order of essential, non-essential, of distancing, of how many people can be in a restaurant at the same time, of how many people can be in a movie theater, how many people can gather. And the office towers, as you know very well, Mr. Tamney, are still largely shut. There's some volunteer return. There's more planned for April and May, perhaps a opening up of the office towers in September, but New York remains closed. John, what explains right now the severe contraction of our economy? Was it that day? Was it before? How to explain it to people who have either been without work or had their work severely limited this last year? Good evening to you, John.
Well, very clearly it was that day, because suddenly businesses that had become successful by virtue of meeting the needs of customers were basically told, you no longer can do that. You can no longer evolve with a different time. Because remember, before that, it's not as though cities and states across the U.S. hadn't adjusted. In truth, and as the New York Times pointed out, it was the red states that adjusted the most, because they were locked down last, as in people on their own got to work, started changing how their businesses were operated, started changing how often they went into businesses. What spooked the markets was suddenly that this ability for individuals who don't need a law to avoid death or sickness suddenly had their ability to manage that taken from them. And so with these forced lockdowns, panic set in. Politicians panicked, and this created nationwide panic.
Peter Thiel, the venture capitalist, as you describe him, wrote in a 2014 book entitled Zero to One, "The value of a business today is the sum of all the money it will make in the future." What about that day, John? What did that do to the value of the businesses in New York City, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in San Francisco? That day, what did it do, John, and is it still with us?
That day, what it did is it forced investors to rethink what's the future for them. Because government showed in how quickly it could wreck an economy in very short order. Let's never forget that California, if it were a state, if it were a country, would be the world's fifth largest economy. Texas, if it were a state, would be the world's 10th largest economy. Throw New York in, what it means for the global economy. Illinois, suddenly the largest economy in the world by far was a quarter shut down. And so it had implications for businesses, U.S.-based businesses, but businesses around the world. If we're valuing them on all the dollars that are in the future, we have to rethink that, given the ability of politicians to, in very short order, take away their ability to operate. And so there was a very quick correction in the market, understandably so. No one ever expected when March began that this is what politicians were going to do.
John, was the virus in the market before March 20th? Had the market taken into account the news such as we had from China?
Unquestionably it had. Because let's never forget, people can have positive and negative views about China, but what they cannot deny is that U.S. businesses, particularly the best ones, have major exposure to the Chinese markets. Apple, the most valuable business in the world, sells a fifth of its iPhones in China. GM sells more cars in China than it does in North America. China's the largest market, ex the U.S., for McDonald's and Nike. It's Starbucks has 4,100 stores there. And my point with that is that we knew from market signals from China that the virus was many things, but it wasn't very lethal. And we knew that long before March, because had it been killing the Chinese indiscriminately, this would have shown up in collapsing U.S. equity prices to reflect that the best market for U.S. companies other than the United States was suddenly dying before our eyes. But in truth, those companies I described saw their shares hitting all-time highs while the virus was spreading rampantly in China. Again, a signal that it was many things, none of them terribly lethal.
I have notes from your book, John. Late January 2020, Farhad Manjoo, the distinguished columnist for the New York Times, writes that the late January virus is a response, perhaps is an overreaction, late January. On February 29th, a month later, the New York Times editorial says there's more fire drill than fire in reports of the virus from overseas. In early March of 2020, I recall this day, the mayor of New York, Mr. de Blasio, who was in sympathy with the New York Times editorial, who was in sympathy with Farhad Manjoo, so I'm not presuming that the mayor made a mistake here. He's following along with the wisdom of the moment. Takes a ride in the subway to tell people that it's safe, and there's a photograph of him in all the tabloids. That's either March 5th or March 6th that it happened. And then, John, what we have is a cancellation of South by Southwest in Texas. You find that significant, John. What was going on? Were there contradictory events happening in February and March?
No question there were. Let's never forget that Donald Trump said the virus is no big deal, but so did Vogue editor Anna Wintour. It's not just that de Blasio rode the subway. He also told New Yorkers to go to the movies, to live their lives. No one took this very seriously, and that's the point. Despite months of evidence coming out of China, and so we knew from China that it wasn't something that was terribly lethal. It'd been in the news and everything. And so people were acting calmly. Then Austin, Texas, this is Texas. The mayor shuts down South by Southwest, which is Black Friday in many ways for Austin. And I think that's when investors started to get religion that, wait a second, if Texas can shut things down this quickly, what will other states do? And so the market started to correct based on, okay, this is going to get much worse, but it's going to get worse because of political action, not because of what was happening in the real world.
You note that three very large states and their governors, March 22nd, shut down. This is 2 days after Mr. Cuomo's announcement in New York. Governor Pritzker of Illinois, shutting down. Governor Cuomo of New York, shutting down. Governor Newsom of California, locking down. Texas followed a week later, March 31st. I mention that because that is understood as a non-blue state, a red state, the state of Texas. John, was that in the market between March 22nd and March 31st? Did the market expect those governors to act in such a fashion?
Yes. At this point, it was a known quantity. And so the markets corrected most right up to March 23rd as they digested what was going to happen. And so there's your market correction. Surprise, oh, wow, they're actually going to do this. And then markets started to rebound. Now, I tie it to information that started to come out from not just the Wall Street Journal, a publication, its editorial page seen as right-wing, but stuff coming from the New York Times. Both very clearly saying, once again, that the virus was many things, but it wasn't some kind of mass indiscriminate killer. David Katz knew that in the New York Times from following what had happened in South Korea. The Wall Street Journal knew it from Raj Bhattacharya, who wrote about it for them, talking about how what we're seeing in Italy is vastly overstating the lethal aspect of the virus. And so I think markets started to revive based on the assumption that, yeah, this is going to end. It has to end because, again, it's many things. It's making some sick, but it's not going to kill off a big number of Americans.
I'm speaking to John Tamney. His new book is When Politicians Panicked, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. We've drawn a line in a calendar, March 20th to 22nd to 23rd of 2020. The crisis is at hand. The markets are accounting for it. But what about the politicians? And what about the business of America is business? When we come back, I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.